This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Audie Cornish. Let's face it, sci-fi fans can get touchy when you mess with their icons. And few characters are as iconic as Star Trek's Mr. Spock, originally played by Leonard Nimoy.
Were I to invoke logic, logic clearly dictates that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
When director J.J. Abrams rebooted the Star Trek franchise in 2009, fans wondered, we should say worried, about how he would handle Spock. But with the second Star Trek film out now, those worries are long gone, thanks largely to actor Zachary Quinto.
Spock, nobody knows the rules better than you, but there has got to be an exception.
None. Such action violates the Prime Directive.
Shut up, Spock. We're trying to save you, damn it.
Doctor, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
The rule cannot be broken. Everything's too...
Zachary Quinto, a.k.a. Mr. Spock, joins me now. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So this is the second time that you've played Spock. Is it any easier?
It's more familiar the second time around, obviously. We have a great camaraderie among the cast, and we all came back together with a lot of enthusiasm. It had been 4 years, so I think we're all ready to come back to it as well.
When you look back on those 4 years, going back, say, to the first Star Trek film, what was it like? I mean, could you hear the kind of chorus of Trek fans in the back of your mind, you know, anxiously awaiting judgment?
I tried to avoid that cacophony, but it was, you know, J.J. did such a great job at bringing us all together and laying down the mandate that we were expected to really create these roles from our own perspectives. And I think that the fans were really supportive of that, and they really got behind the first movie and have built with the anticipation for the second one, which is great.
Unlike the other characters in the movie, you actually have your predecessor hanging around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Nimoy in the first film. I'm not going to spoil it for people, but he makes some kind of appearance in the second film.
Uh-huh.
Recently we saw you guys in a car commercial that went viral. Here's a clip of it.
Go.
Hey, where are you?
Use your sensors.
No need. I'm already here.
You're there already? I feel like I'm stuck in a black hole.
No worries. I can practice my swing if you need to pull over and take a nap.
Smartass.
And that's an ad for Audi.
Yeah.
I mean, did he give you any advice before you took on the role?
He was integrally involved because he was in the first movie. So, and he had some consultation with J.J. when J.J. was casting the movie. So he was very supportive from the beginning, and we became incredibly good friends. And that Audi commercial that we did was really just an excuse for us to get together and have fun. And I didn't even know how funny he was going to be in it. But he blows me away all the time. He's so full of surprises, which is very refreshing.
Has he given you any advice about how to handle the fame? I mean, it seems like Star Trek fans, they're legendary, right?
Yeah,
their devotion
for sure.
To the franchise, they've embraced you. And that must come with some baggage.
A little, although times have changed. You know, I think when Leonard was originating this character, it was a bit of a different climate in terms of the entertainment industry, and attention spans have shortened. And so I think there's a little bit less fanaticism, or at least it's changed. It's sort of shifted online, and, you know, I can avoid it in a lot of ways. And I think the way that Leonard has lived his life is really exemplary in that way. He's never allowed it to intrude on his personal experience, and that's something that I've always tried to maintain.
The physicality of the character that you're playing in the movie, Spock, You play this role without your trademark eyebrows, right? Like you, I mean, it's okay for me to say, you have like fairly prominent eyebrows.
Yes, I do. Fair of
and
me to say, Audie.
In this movie, Spock doesn't really have brows, right? Or he has like sort of drawn on old lady brows.
No, they're not drawn on, actually. They are individually glued hairs on my forehead. I shave about 3/4 of my prominent eyebrows off my face when I'm doing
really? You walk around with shaved eyebrows for the entire...
It's not a good look. It is not a good look. And then the incredible makeup team, they extend my eyebrows on the up angle. So it's an involved process, but that bonds us and is a big part of my relationship with the character, because it gives me about 3 hours every morning to get into the mindset. And it actually helps me in almost a meditative way sometimes when I'm not sleeping.
As you're sort of getting into the mode of this character, where do you find the kind of depth in a character like this where you're not going to do a lot of kind of wild emoting with your
mm-hmm.
face, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have a very kind of flat affectation in terms mm-hmm. of his voice?
He has a wider range of emotion in this film. The first film, in a lot of ways, was about, for Spock, grappling with his humanity. And in this film, I think it's about accepting it and rising up and allowing himself to be vulnerable and be witnessed in that vulnerability and learning how to be accountable to the people that he loves and cares about and is responsible for. And then again, there is this meditative depth that he occupies and that he contains. And I think that's part of his duality as well. And so it really is about creating a well that I can go into rather than express in a way. And it's sort of counterintuitive for an actor on some levels, although I feel like it strengthens and deepens an inner life, which serves me in other ways. And I'm constantly seeking opportunities to break out of that and do other things. And, you know, I go back on stage a lot. I'm about to do a play again in New York. And
this is The Glass Menagerie you're doing on Broadway.
That's right. I am, yeah. I've never done a play on Broadway before, so.
So you've parlayed your film career and the fame that's come from that and television work into opportunities in theater and Broadway. You also have a production company. You've also used your fame in terms of hitting the campaign trail for President Obama. Mm-hmm. You've championed gay rights. And 2 years ago, you revealed in an interview that you are gay. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen you say that essentially you got more work after coming out.
That was a little out of context.
Okay, I mean, yeah. Help me out. What happened there?
I feel like work didn't slow down. But
did you initially have doubts when you came out that that would be the case? I mean, was there still a sense in Hollywood that to come out is somehow damaging to one's career?
I guess on some levels it still exists in people's minds, but I also feel like that is changing and it needs to change more. And the only way that it can change is for people to take responsibility and be visible in this way. It's about visibility. I don't imagine that there's anybody that's going to say, I don't want to work with this person because they're openly gay. But, you know, I do think, especially again, it comes back to the corporatized studio structure, which has its own kind of set of rules. And historically, there haven't been openly gay movie stars. There haven't certainly been openly gay action stars. And I feel like that's only a matter of time until it changes. And anybody that sees Star Trek Into Darkness can identify that in terms of the work that I'm doing in that movie. So
in a way, it sounds like not that you're lucky, but that your career kind of came to be in a moment when that's possible.
Absolutely. I don't take any kind of credit for this other than to say I reached a point where I had to be authentically open in a public way for myself, for the young kids that are killing themselves and being bullied because of who they are. I felt it incumbent upon myself to stand up and make a declaration because of all of those things. But I don't know. There are so many people that came before me that suffered more, that felt more limited than I ever would, even if I didn't come out, that I give the credit to those people for paving the way that allows me to live the life that I'm living right now, for sure.
Well, Zachary Quinto, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Zachary Quinto plays Mr. Spock in the new movie Star Trek Into Darkness. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.